Today is Saturday, September 5th. Welcome to our weekend episode of The Newsworthy called Special Edition Saturday. Today, we have two guests who help us examine the data about work now and post-pandemic. And not only are they providing fascinating new insights about the workplace, they're also turning that data into valuable advice, explaining concrete ways both managers and employees can get ahead in this new environment and economy. We discuss everything from remote work to working parents and so much more. First, you'll hear from Brian Kropp. He's the chief of research for the Gartner HR practice. Gartner is the world's leading research and advisory company, and Brian is an expert on all things employees and leadership. Then you'll hear from Caroline Fairchild, who is the editor-at-large for LinkedIn. She's also the host and writer of Working Together, LinkedIn's live show and newsletter focused on the changing face of U.S. business. In 2018, Caroline was honored on Forbes' 30 Under 30 list as one of the brightest minds working in media. So here are my back-to-back conversations about what's next at work. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Hi, Brian. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us what the data shows right now when it comes to what company leaders are doing in response to this pandemic and what they're expecting of their employees.
What they're really expecting is once we get to the point where there's a vaccine, effective treatments, whatever it might be, they're still going to have about 50% of their workforce working remote at least some of the time. So we've seen this fundamental shift where in the past it was only about 10% of employees worked remote, to companies expecting to be about 50%.
Is that a bigger percentage than you would have expected?
Yeah, what people thought really when the pandemic first hit is that we're going to have this moment where people worked remote for a couple of weeks, maybe a month or two, and then we're going to snap back to where we were before. But what we're finding is with time, this fundamental shift to getting people working remote is sticking. And there's a couple of reasons why. One, CFOs, CEOs initially were really concerned that when employees were working remote, that they're really just going to, you know, sit around on their couch and watch TV and eat pizza all day and not do work. And that was the fear in the back of their heads. And what they're finding is that employees who are working remote on any objective measure are just as productive, if not more so, than employees that come into a workplace. So there's no real productivity hit. And then what they're also realizing is that there's an enormous cost savings from having employees work remote. So what senior leaders are finding is that not only are remote employees just as productive, but they're actually cheaper in terms of a total cost perspective. And that's really changing their mindset to say, let's stick with this and keep as many employees remote as we possibly can.
Any downsides to consider?
What we find is that employees who are remote are dramatically more likely to quit their jobs and go to work for someplace else than employees who actually come into an office. So that's what companies really need to be thinking about, what leaders need to be thinking about now is, with more of my remote workforce being remote, how do I make sure that they don't quit once the labor market starts to rebound and jobs start to open back up again at some point in the future?
Any data for the reason why? I mean, I assume it's that you're not connecting as much with your coworkers potentially.
Yeah, that's one of the big issues, that what you find is employees who are remote, they don't have the same strong emotional and social connections that they have with their coworkers when they would come into the workplace. A second factor that's going on, though, that's really interesting when it comes to remote work, is that managers treat the remote employees differently than those who come into a workplace. So managers are twice as likely to reach out to their employees that work remote and tell them they did something wrong compared to employees who work in the office. And in contrast, they're half as likely to reach out to their employees who work remote and tell them they did something right and provide that positive affirming feedback compared to employees who come to the workplace. And then the third biggest reason that we see is that employees who work remote, their constraints are different when they're thinking about different jobs. Location is less of a constraint. So they actually have a broader swath of opportunities that they can look at. So they don't have the same social connections. They've got a worse relationship with their manager on average, and they've got more opportunity. And all three of those factors contribute to a higher turnover risk for remote employees.
That's so interesting. And it just goes back to the fact that culture, remote or not, is so vital to a company. What do you think the impact is to the broader economy, especially when we're talking about business travel going down? Is that going to stick?
What we're finding is that CFOs are basically planning for about a 60 to 70% reduction in travel costs as they're planning for their 2021 budget, as they were for planning for their 2020 budget. So real cutback on that. But there's all sorts of other economic impacts that are here as well. So one, there's a whole economic system that's built up around the corporate office. So places where people get lunch, where they get coffee, where people park their cars, all those sorts of things. And if we're seeing roughly half as many people coming into a workplace, that means that half as many people are going to be visiting and those businesses around those workplaces. Now, they're still going to get coffee, they're still going to get lunch, but it's going to be much more distributed and closer to where they live rather than where they work.
Any predictions on what that's going to lead to?
Yeah, so you're going to see a significant increase in delivery services. You're going to see a lot of the small to medium-sized businesses not survive. Now, some of them are going to have to are going to come up with new and innovative ways to serve customers. So you can imagine that the coffee shop is not just where you get coffee, but it's where you actually then have your team meetings when you have less corporate real estate. So there's ways that they will adjust. There's going to be new and innovative solutions that occur, but it's going to require a lot of imagination on the parts of the businesses that have based their entire business plan on serving those corporate customers around big office buildings.
After digesting all the data and talking with corporate leaders, can you leave us with a final thought for both corporate leaders and the employee trying to navigate all this?
So for corporate leaders, I think the most important takeaway here is the evidence is abundantly clear that employees can be just as productive working in a different location than coming to your office space. But the evidence is also clear that by adopting even greater flexibility about when people work, how much they work, in addition to where they're working, you can improve productivity to an even greater degree. And you can have employees that are more engaged with you by offering really radical flexibility. Now, from an employee perspective, the thing that's most important to realize as you're navigating and managing your career is that it's going to be harder to show the impact that you're having in a remote environment than an in-office environment. As sad as it may be, being out of sight means out of mind. So as you're navigating your career as a remote employee, you're going to have to spend a lot more time advocating for yourself, showing the impact that you've done, and really telling your own story rather than expecting someone else, i.e. your manager, to be able to tell that story for you.
This episode is not over yet. Next, we'll hear from the editor-at-large for LinkedIn about what happens when working from home is not an option, the toll on working parents, and no matter where you work, another positive change coming out of this pandemic. But first, thanks to our sponsor, CastleGrade. If you or a loved one will be heading back to work or school, or especially if you're an essential worker, you'll want a mask that has enough protection and is actually made to be reused. In fact, CastleGrade masks are easy to clean in the dishwasher. Not only will you avoid spending money every day on a new one-time use mask, but you'll also be doing the planet a favor, which cannot sustain billions of N95s being discarded at the end of each day. Plus, CastleGrade masks are made to be comfortable. They won't leave marks on your face or fog up your glasses. And they have the same level of protection as N95 masks. They're registered with the FDA as an N95. Though you don't have to worry about their masks using materials or factories that are in short supply, because CastleGrade simply uses soft silicone. So go to CastleGrade.com to learn more and get 10% off your first order with the discount code NEWS. That's CastleGrade.com and use the code NEWS, N-E-W-S, at checkout for 10% off your first order. Okay, now here's my conversation with LinkedIn's Caroline Fairchild. Hi, Caroline. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
It's great to be here.
So it seems that corporate America is embracing remote work, but I know that's not an option for everyone. So what is the data at LinkedIn showing about how people in general are feeling about returning to work versus working from home?
Returning to work is a huge point of stress and anxiety right now for working parents, workers across LinkedIn. We did a survey of about 1,000 workers across the country right now as we consider that offices are reopening. And while some workers are excited, the majority of workers that we surveyed are told us that they're stressed out and anxious about the prospect of returning to work. 57% of the workers that we surveyed said that they actually weren't comfortable returning to the office at this point. And stress and anxiety is mostly felt right now from working parents. And when you think about it, working parents are those that are right now having to deal with lack of childcare options, and school reopenings are still a big question mark across the country. And so that's the demographic that we're really concerned about. And we've been speaking with employers about what they're doing on the ground to make sure that parents feel like they have the safeguards that they need to even be able to return to the office at this point.
Yeah, so let's talk about that more. What is the impact on working parents right now? And how are both parents and companies trying to manage this?
In a survey that we did of workers across the country, 30% of working parents told us that they would not have childcare options available if they were asked to return to work tomorrow. And get this, 60% of working parents said that their employers made no accommodations to their schedules. So that means that their employer has said, we're not going to acknowledge the fact that you have these new childcare responsibilities. You still need to work within the confines of the hours that we've set. 60% of working parents have told us that. So this is a huge problem, particularly as we're considering that schools are not going to reopen in a large part of the country until, you know, at least through the fall, that working parents are just concerned about how they're going to balance all of this moving forward.
So are you getting any insights about how they are trying to manage it? I mean, what are some options, or are there no good options?
Yeah, I'm disappointed that I actually used the word balance, because I think in a global pandemic, balance was something that working parents couldn't do pre-pandemic. And now I feel like using the word balance is just useless, because there is no balance. They're having to do both and figure out how to do both in real time. And in terms of best practices, I think coming out of this pandemic, the best employers are going to understand that if you have a worker who's stressed out or anxious about being able to provide childcare right now or to homeschool their children, there's no way that they're going to be productive on the job. So the best employers are really treating this by case-by-case basis and providing the flexibility, which was a buzzword across corporate America before this pandemic, actually walking the walk and providing the flexibility and giving workers the accommodations that they need to do work productively on their own time. And so workers are telling us on LinkedIn that what that looks like on the ground is having really specific conversations with your manager about some concerns that you're having about perhaps not returning to work because of childcare responsibilities. So that means maybe you check in with your manager at the beginning and the end of each day. Maybe you give your boss access to your calendar so they have more visibility into what you're doing. There are these small things that we can all do to make work productively for everyone in the long term as this pandemic continues.
Any positive aspects that you think might come out of all of this?
I've been covering leadership and management throughout my entire career, and I noticed in a very rapid clip when this pandemic started, a change in tone with the CEOs and executives that I've been interviewing. And that change in tone was one that went way towards empathetic leadership. And what empathetic leadership is really putting yourself in the shoes of your direct report and your employees. And since this pandemic hit, I've heard more executives talk about the importance of empathetic leadership, of thinking less about the bottom line and more about how their customers, their employees, their communities are being impacted by this crisis. The Zoom calls that we're all doing all day, where you see kids and dogs and partners in the background, are making it very challenging to think of your workers as just robots who turn on and off at the end of the day. I think this is all a positive, that if we think of ourselves more as whole human beings in the office, that we can change our relationships that we have with work, and we can also change the relationships that we have with our colleagues.
As always, you can read more about both of our guests in today's show notes on thenewsworthy.com. And be sure to share this episode with any friends or family who may find it helpful. You can just text out the link right from your podcast app or share on social media. Of course, don't forget to tune in to our regular episodes Monday through Friday, when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. Thanks again for joining us. I'll be back on Tuesday after Labor Day with your next news roundup. Until then, have a great long weekend.